This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you heard anything about Josh Simmons, speaking of injury? I mean, he's a guy that I think is a special offensive line talent, moves well, but obviously...
Yeah.
Kind of a freaky injury, and just do you have any indication like where he's at? And
So I don't know where he's at in his recovery. I had heard that the initial report this was people were like, yeah, he tore his ACL. I have since been told that it was worse than that, that it was more extensive than just tearing his ACL. I don't want to exactly say what I've been told because I don't know if that's 100% correct, but I have heard from multiple people that it might be more extensive than just an ACL tear. And even just an ACL tear is something that you have to deal with. But Simmons is somebody who I loved. I was a big fan of him. He was a top five tackle for me even before this year started. And then I thought he was playing some of his best ball, and he could have ended up being a top 20 pick. But he is definitely interesting as somebody that Washington obviously has got to do a lot of due diligence on, because I think it's realistic to think that he could make it to them due to that injury.
He's the guy that I know, Logan, we've talked about him on the pod already, because he's like your guy in this class in terms of the offensive lineman, if you take the injury side out of it. But he could be all over the place. It's always funny too. I'm sure you get all kinds of crap on drafting. Oh, your mock drafts all over the place. Your board's all over, but it's like, yeah, well, we now know how bad the injury was. And so that's right. Definitely part of this as well.
Dude, Logan, I can't remember if we talked about this when we were at the Senior Bowl. Josh Simmons has that like Christian Darrisaw stance where both those dudes can get so low at the snap that they are firing off the ball. Fantastic leverage, fast footwork. They've got the feet to be able to mirror. Like, I don't think he's as strong as Christian Darrisaw, but man, it's hard to not watch him and not go like, you move so much like that guy.
No, I totally agree. I think that was my comp that I wrote down for him. And it's always hard because like I do this thing, maybe you do it too, like where he's wearing 71, Christian Darrisaw wears 71.
That's, and you're like,
that just goes in your mind that way. But I think the movement skills are tremendous. And so when you get a guy that moves like that playing offensive line, it's like, those guys don't grow on trees, so you got to take advantage of them.
The two players that I always feel the worst about doing comps this year are Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons, because they are literally built the exact same. They're like the same. Even they even kind of like look the same. Like their face looks the same. They went to the same school. They have the same background. They wear the same number. They play the same position, and they're
should built, be against the rules,
right? And I always feel bad. People are like, oh, what's your comp for Abdul Carter? And I'm like, I mean, you're going to say it's easy, but it's Micah Parsons. And then the other one is Dallas Clark for Tyler Warren.
I
genuinely like that.
Let's
comp.
Go to our white tight end, Logan
and they both wear 44, so I feel bad about it. So I feel like I gotta...
Does
like
Warren wear gloves?
Yes, but
no more comp. Not allowed.
So I was about to say the Clark comp doesn't really fly because he wears gloves. I also, dude, he reminds me, this is a crazy comp, but he reminds me of like Rob Gronkowski, like, because he's just that big. he's like the body type is
he's more huge
that way.
Yeah.
As opposed to Dallas Clark, who's a little bit smaller, a little bit more receiver.
I got to know how much he parties, you know,
That's the thing.
Because that's the Gronk comp. I can't give anybody the Gronk comp unless, you spend a night out with him.
We've got in Washington the Commanders tag. Unless you party hard, you can't get the Gronk tag. Those are the rules.
Yeah.
And you can't get the Dallas Clark tag if you wear gloves. Sorry. Your game could be basically identical.
That's fair.
But you got to, this is how drafting works.
That's fair.
All right, let's go offensive line real quick. We started talking about that, obviously. Like, where do you think the strength of this class is in terms of, like, is this a draft where you're like, I want to take a guard in the fifth round because I think there's one that could be a starter for me sooner rather than later? Is this a, I got to take that guy early? Like, where are the levels in the depth in this class along the offensive line?
As strange as it might be to say, like the strength of this offensive line class is literally just in its versatility. And I think that there's a pro and a con to saying that. The pro is that, of course, I think you have a lot of guards to be centers. And I think you have a lot of tackles that could be guards. And I think you have a lot of tackles even that could be centers. And we've even had some guy like Jonovan Jackson from Ohio State who did the Joe Tooney thing where he played guard and then they kicked him out at the tackle when Josh Simmons got hurt. So there's just so much versatility in this offensive line class that beauty is going to be in the eyes of the beholder for basically every single team on how they see these players. Like, for example, Will Campbell. I love Will Campbell. He's my favorite offensive lineman in this class right now. I genuinely think that there's a chance where he could be an all-pro center. Right. And so, like, of course, like, are you drafting a center at four if you're the Patriots? No, probably not. But like, that's kind of what I think about this guy. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State played offensive tackle for the Bison. I think he'll move inside to center. I think center's his best position there. But to me, it's getting one of those guys that, okay, maybe they are not those like easy plug and play, which is a phrase that I kind of hate anyways, long-term starters along the offensive line. But it's those guys where, I don't know, we might have a handful of Elijah Vera Tuckers in this class, you know, guys who can start at one position, maybe start on the inside. But if you need him to kick out the tackle, you could do that. I think Kelvin Banks is somebody who fits that bill. I think Armand Membu could do that. I think that Will Campbell could do that. Right. And I'm just sort of naming off the guys that are at the very top of my head that are at the top of this class. So versatility to me is the strength of this offensive line class. And I think that you'll be able to, get a guy that you really want because, again, just with so many different projections of where teams might have these certain players, one of these guys is going to fall to you in the at the first or second round that I think you're going to have an opportunity to pick.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think there's a lot of really good interior players, and I like what you said there about Will Campbell. I do think, depending on how he measures, like that's going to be a big part of the equation for him. But one thing I'd ask you is if you had to find a tackle, someone that you said, if this guy's going to play tackle in the NFL, left or right, I don't care. Who's the first or maybe first two names that come to mind there?
Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College is the first guy that I think of. I mean, no question about it. Has the size, has the length. He's been playing right tackle for Boston College for years. I believe his dad played offensive line in the NFL. So, I mean, like, he's just got the bloodlines to him. He plays for a program that's very traditionally been able to send a trench guys to the NFL that are very familiar with what it's like to be able to play in the pros from Boston College and then making that jump. So, he is the first guy that I think of that when you think about, okay, this guy is an offensive tackle no matter what, he's the first guy that I think of there.
And just for the audience, like, where is he ranked on your big board approximately? Like, to me, he's like a third round type of guy, but just to like, it's more like to give context on the draft class, right?
Yeah.
Those elite outside players are not super thick in this group, is what I'm
Yes. Thinking. I would have him anywhere from late second, early third, I think is a great range for Ozzie, who I think just a little bit of limited foot speed is probably the reason why you wouldn't think of him a little bit higher, but somebody who genuinely, I think that you could put him at offensive tackle and there's a world where he is okay, maybe not the franchise tackle for you, maybe not a Tristan Wirfs or a Penny Sewell or something like that, but like you go, because I mean, for every Tristan Wirfs or Penny Sewell or whoever it is on one side of the line, you do need another offensive tackle. Right. He just doesn't get talked about nearly as much.
Right.
I think that Ozzie could be that guy who's the starter on the other side.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing from the Washington lens because you have maybe that guy already in Brandon Coleman, unless you think he can kick inside and be like elite at guard. And that's, I think, one of the things that they're figuring out this offseason. All right, last thing, at least for me, but I got two questions that I'm asking all the draft guys. The one I already asked you, and then I love doing this every year. And you're actually, I think, the inspiration of why I have to ask everybody because you get really excited for this question.
Okay.
who's your guy in this draft? The guy that you can flip on the tape and be like, I watch that guy all day.
I feel like I have a lot in this class that are, they're so much fun. I'm trying to give you a little bit more of a deeper pull. RJ Harvey, the running back from UCF, is dude, the missed tackles force per attempt. This is why I love Bucky Irving last year, because the contact balance that Bucky Irving played with, and then just the ability to make you miss in a phone booth. If it is just you and a linebacker and you got to get out of a phone booth style situation, he can make you miss in such short situations. I just love the playmaking mentality that he has to set defenders up and make a miss and get yards after contact. And I felt like he was underutilized. I shouldn't say underutilized. They actually started using quite a bit this past year at UCF. But I just think that he's such a great talent. He's got some soft hands in the receiving game too. So he's the first guy that popped into my head that it's like, okay, this is one of my guys here in this class. This is my kind of like, I get Bucky Irving. Like this year's sort of Bucky Irving bet that I'm willing to make from this running back.
Well, say it was, this wasn't like a later pull necessarily, but you remember who your guy was last year?
Oh, who was it?
Kenyon. Good call.
Oh, yeah.
Good call. You know what? We were sitting in this room last year.
I'm not bad at this.
And I was like, who's your guy? You're like, dude, Kenyon Mitchell. I could watch him play football.
Oh, yeah. My guy's the best corner in the class.
He was a guy out of Toledo.
No, don't. Trevor, don't let him give you these flowers.
Do you? You know where I'll actually take the flowers.
Okay, take it.
I had Cooper CB1 last year.
I'll give it that because I
had DeGene and CB1. I had him 8 overall, and he went second round, and I went, what are we doing? And then obviously, you know, look, he goes to a phenomenal defense where everything around him is fantastic. Quinion's obviously one of those guys that was great, but I think that guys like Brian Branch, Mikey Samristill, Cooper DeGene, they are going to force the NFL to look at the nickel defender position differently, because how in the world are these players?
Everyone's an 11 all the time. It's a starter. Why are we downgrading the nickel player?
But here's the thing. Not only is it a starter, that is a massive difference making chess piece position when you get the right guy. How did the NFL watch Brian Branch at Alabama and went, yeah, I don't know, second round guy. What are we doing? How do you watch that with Cooper DeGene? Look at all the ball production that he had, the returner production that he had, the tackler that he is. Be able to play on the outside. That is the area where I am the most confused, or at least I have the difference of sort of ranking premium positions. That nickel defender right now, I feel like, is just undervalued at the NFL position, at the NFL level. And I wonder if a guy like a hot name this year is going to be Nicky Manwari, the safety from South Carolina. Just massive build, incredible athlete, can play linebacker, can play safety, can play a little apex defender for you in the slot. I wonder if the NFL just overcompensate seems like an insult, but like almost like overcompensates that and is like, okay, we're going to draft this guy in the top 20. Cause I've seen that. And that's a little rich for my blood, but I wonder if
he's probably going to sound like a freak.
He is. He's like 6'3", 225. And I mean, he's going to be a monster this year.
All right. That's what we got with Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus. Logan, do you want to do the plug again since it's one of your favorite shows?
NFL Stock Exchange Podcast, man.
My man.
Great job there. All the information you could possibly want about the draft in that show.
King.
There you go.
Thank you.
So check out Trevor there and everything that PFF's doing. We look forward to the post combine mock draft simulator updates.
There he is.
When the software refreshes, because we definitely use PFF's mock draft simulator for our mock drafts.
It will be a massive update after this week.
Yeah.
Like when we get to see all the testing numbers and everything like that, and there's a handful of position groups that I've gotten to that I've got final evals for. I mean, it's going to be a big change. We're going to update a lot of stuff on the mock draft sim. So
once that's done, you let us know. We'll do mock draft 2.0.
I will.
Not a moment before. Trevor Sikkema, everybody. Logan and I have more from Indy over the course of the rest of the week. Thanks for listening to Take Command.